Robots can make your morning coffee taste better. Google Earth adds a time-lapse feature. How the latest Rowhammer attacks affects DDR4 RAM and some space travel anniversaries. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to The Computer Doctor Show, episode 40. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVUI 1030 The Voice, and we post all of our shows and bonus content on thecomputerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. We have a great show for you today, and joining us in studio is Rob from the Unscrewed Theater.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Good to have you with us. And as today's co-host, I've given Rob exclusive power to say anything at any time during the show. I have no idea what you're going to say.
Well, I'm going to say I hope that when you do episode 42 in a couple weeks, you have a special for the meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely go for that. But let's get started with our top tech news stories this week. Bloomberg Technology reported yesterday of a coffee robot that can choose the best coffee beans for you to roast.
Is it based on your personal taste or something? Or?
Well, actually, according to Bloomberg.com, they say that this artificial intelligence is going to be replacing human-based inspectors that would normally rely on color, aroma, and taste, and it's going to be controlled by, it's going to be trained by these inspectors that are like at the top of their game. These are like the best coffee inspector people that are actually going to be training this artificial intelligence.
Well, he who controls the coffee controls the world.
Well, I was thinking about this, and I was trying to figure out if you have a big bucket of coffee beans, let's say they're just coming right out of the farm, okay? If you have some sort of machine in there that just knows which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones, then if it picks out the good ones, obviously the bad ones have to go somewhere, and they're not going to waste them. They're just going to sell them at a lower price. Or you may go to Starbucks, you say, high-quality coffee. And then there's the normal coffee, you know, and then there's going to be all these different types of qualities of coffees. Or maybe they'll just give like the high quality to like the better people and the regular coffee to everybody else.
This is how employers are going to attract employees in the future. The high quality coffee, the robot selected coffee.
Robot selected coffee. There you go. And they're going to have to figure out if it actually helps people to actually perform better. Mm-hmm. If they drink the higher quality thing. But see, those are the types of things that is what's happening in the artificial intelligence world. They are programming computers to do these interesting things. Also, another reason to be wary of buttons or links in your email is a Rowhammer attack on DDR4 RAM that's using a Java exploit. So, do you know what Rowhammer attack is?
I haven't heard that one yet.
Well, okay. So we have a wide array of listeners. So a lot of people don't know what a Rowhammer attack is or even what Rowhammer is. So basically what a Rowhammer is if you've ever seen a module of RAM, it has these chips on it. And the way those chips are arranged on that, it's on a silicon chip and they form a matrix. Extremely, extremely small technology here. And memory, obviously, are zeros and ones. Okay, we know that, you know, coming out of school. So zeros and ones. So they are these small little charges made by capacitors and transistors all over. And what ends up happening is if a program is sitting on, or if memory is sitting inside the RAM, what happens is if you just have a charge that's just sitting there, eventually, just naturally, it's just going to fade away on its own. So The programs know this. The drivers that drive that memory, they know this. So they've already have in effect what's called a Rohamber refresh. And what that does is it takes anything that has a dwindling charge and it puts the charge back up to full power again. Now, it does this in a sequence. It does this in a very, very fast timing type of refresh mode. But if it is done synchronized in a wrong way or synchronized at just the wrong way, when it's refreshing one element, it can actually jump across and affect the next element through a scientific phenomenon called induction. Okay, so whenever you have like electricity going through one wire, you can actually start to read things on an adjacent wire that's running parallel to it.
Yeah, running a current creates a magnetic field, so you can detect that. So.
That's exactly what it is. So if it runs in too much of a sequence, it can actually affect other pieces of memory and actually wipe out memory that's right next to it in these inside of these matrices, inside of these chips. So what Java has done, or what there are some hackers out there that have figured this out, okay? What they do is they'll send you an email, okay? And they'll get you to click on something. It'll make a modification in your JavaScript or in the Java that's running into your computer application, and it'll send a message over the course of 15 minutes into a into the RAM of your computer, and it'll actually make it fail inside of the RAM, not inside of the hard drive. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because most antivirus programs, where do they look for the problems? In the hard drive, not the RAM.
Yeah.
The RAM is the temporary memory, your live memory, things that you're actively using. Okay, if you have an application open, you're writing a letter, okay, and you're typing the letter, that's actually going into RAM. But let's say that you lose power in the building and the computer shuts off, what happened to that letter that you were typing? It's gone. It doesn't, you don't get it back unless you save it to the hard drive, okay? And that's where a lot of antivirus programs look for problems, in the hard drive, okay? Scripts or problematic programs that are running in the hard drive, okay? So to make a long story short, it's a problem that gets created in a part of the computer that normally doesn't get scanned by an antivirus. That's what makes it so dangerous. It can destroy your RAM, which is so badly that you'll actually have to change it.
Wow.
I don't know if these hackers have anything else better to do than to find out these little flaws and make little exploits about them.
But you still have to click on that thing in the email to get for it to infect, right?
So yes.
So it's just like the old Melissa virus going back 20-some years, you know, still, the weak spot is the person.
Yes, the weak spot is the person. As a matter of fact, the more human interaction you have with security, the less secure your systems are. So anything where you can bring automation into the process, that's the more secure that you are. Some of the most secure companies in the world are the people that have the least amount of human interaction, if you think about it. Google. Have you ever tried to call Google?
Nope.
And you know what?
You're not going to.
You're going to have an incredibly difficult time trying to contact someone at Google. The only people that answer the phones at Google are people that will answer questions if you're having trouble placing ads. Mm-hmm. That's the only customer service that they offer. That's the only human part of it. Anything else, it's just, go to this website, figure out this form, and we'll send you an email or article of how to do it.
Yeah. Now, if I go down a rabbit hole on this one a little bit here,
yeah.
It seems that, you know, we've been miniaturizing the transistors so much over the years. You know, 20 years ago, they weren't using these 7 to 10 nanometer processes, so the transistors were much farther apart. So I bet there wouldn't be that crosstalk back then because they were just farther apart because they're separated by a much greater distance. So
right.
This is one of those things. Miniaturization may have made this attack possible.
And we can only go but so small.
Yeah, exactly. There's a limit.
And the smaller we go, we're going to start ending up with these induction problems where we have one side that's actually affected by the other side only because they are so close,
mm-hmm.
right?
Fun fact, the Hubble Space Telescope is controlled by a 486 processor.
Really?
Yes.
That
radiation-hardened 486 processor.
Yep. How do you happen to know that, sir?
I just happened to remember it from the last servicing mission where I saw, wow, that's a 486 processor. It was old then.
What do you do for a living?
I work at the Communications Education Engagement Group at Noir Lab here in Tucson, better known as the people who run Kitt Peak locally.
Ah, okay. So you're an astro person.
Yeah.
Person
to the stars, sure. We can go with that.
All right. Well, you know, talking about from the stars, a cool feature of Google Earth, you can now look at sections of the Earth in a 37-year time lapse. It was reported a few days ago on aznet.com. So I actually went to Google Earth this week, and there is a button where you can click on and look at sections of the world in a time lapse from 37 years ago to present. Could you imagine that? So there's actually a section on there where you can look at the city of Las Vegas. Okay, and you could actually see it growing right there in front of you. It's totally cool. So, but here's what I was hoping for. I was hoping to zoom in at my house and see my house as it's developed over 37 years, because I've only been in my house for 7 years, and I know what it looked like, or what it would have looked like 37 years ago. It would have just been really, really cool to just see it morph like that. It's really cool. Have you ever been onto Google Earth?
I've used Google Earth quite a bit, yeah, but I haven't tried that feature yet, but I saw it mentioned.
So. Yeah, it's awesome. So there are... unfortunately, I was not able to see my house. It's not that intricate yet, but I believe there are certain sections of the Earth. I know Las Vegas was them. There's probably about a dozen or two or so locations where you can actually look at it in time lapse. And now for the future, as far as Earth observation, I guess we can call it, of just observing things around the Earth, we could actually see cities being built, houses being built in time lapse, and see what it looked like at any given point. Now, that might be a little bit, some people might want to stray back from that a little bit because, hey, we don't know, you know, what people can use this information. You know, this could be like dangerous information if people know how something looked before and where it's going now. But, kudos to Google Earth. You know, they're doing some awesome things out there, and we don't know what they're going to do next. You know, they've done some pretty awesome things. What is the most awesome thing that you've seen with Google Earth?
Oh, on Google Earth, I love going back, because even with just Street View, you know, you can see that every 5 or 6 years they go by the place. You can look back 5 or 6 years at different things. You know, and I just love doing that on different places too, because you can see big changes even just in small time frames like that.
It's kind of like the Wayback Machine from websites. Have you ever seen like the really, really old Yahoo?
The old Internet Archive.
Yeah, yes. Internet Archive. There it goes. We're going to take a quick little break here. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, Online Protection 101 and some tech anniversaries. Our open lines are 520-790-2040 for any questions on that part. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill. Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly. but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. The month of April is Distracted Driver Awareness Month. It is Arizona statewide law effective January 1st, 2021. It makes having a mobile device even in your hand, regardless if you're using it or not, it makes it against the law to even hold it. So just keep your phones down, your eyes up, and just drive. And most cars have radios, so make good use of it. Next, we're going to, before we get into our next segment, I'd like to introduce Rob, and what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, thank you. I'm with Unscrewed Theater here in Tucson. We've been open as a theater since 2014, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Not burnt out, just unscrewed. The main house team goes back to the early 2000s, so we've been around for quite a while as a house team. We do house parties now. Online shows every Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. They're family friendly and they're free. You can register for them at our website at unscrewedtheater.org and watch over Zoom. We also do uncensored shows the second and fourth Saturday of the month at 9:30 p.m. And we have special guests in many of our shows, other improvisers from Tucson and around the country, sometimes even around the world. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of workshops coming up online with Liz Allen, who is the improv coach for the movie Don't Think Twice. Ah. So if you have movie,
when is she coming?
She's doing online workshops with us starting in the last Friday of May, April, I think it is. So just a week or two here. So okay. Coming up very soon.
Excellent. So if you want more information for that, go to
unscrewedtheater.org.
Unscrewedtheater.org. Thank you, Rob. Some notable tech anniversaries this week. Today is April 17th. Now, Rob, we were talking a little bit before the show, so. You already guessed what one of the anniversaries was today, but not this other one. So it was the first reusable manned spacecraft to travel into space. What was the name?
That would be Columbia, Space Shuttle Columbia.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Wow, you really know your stuff here. Okay, yes.
April 12th was the launch, I believe.
April 12th, right on the money. Man, you are good. What year was it?
81.
Excellent. Okay, so
I was reading Weekly Reader back at that time. So Weekly Reader kept you up to date on space in the 70s and early 80s.
Absolutely. So yeah, 40 years ago, April 12th, 1981. Some of the other space shuttles that there have been, there's Space Shuttle Columbia, Discovery,
Challenger. Endeavor. Are we missing one? Discovery, Challenger.
No, this is your domain.
There's five plus the Enterprise that was the test shuttle, which never went into space, the one they just took up on the 747 and released it to test its gliding abilities to land.
Wow. Okay. So there you have it, folks. 40 years.
Atlantis. That's the other
Atlantis.
One. Atlantis. Yes. That's
40 years of having space shuttles. That's what we are today. Also, a famous event happened in space on Apollo 13. There was an explosion of a oxygen tank that happened on April 13th. The explosion happened on April 13th, 1970, but they made it back this day in history 51 years ago on April 17th, 1970. That was called the successful failure.
Mm-hmm. I was very young at the time, and I just remember there was something wrong with a rocket. I have vague memories of something wrong with a rocket because I was less than 5 years old back then. So,
I was not any age at that time. I didn't enter in the picture much later, but these are some very, very interesting technology marvels that we're able to look back on humanity and see the progress that has been made now that space travel is even into the private sector now. So some very, very interesting things have happened, since then. Here is another interesting thing that happened on this day, April 17th in 1964. It is an automotive background, but it was the Ford Mustang that was officially unveiled by Henry Ford II at the 1964 World's Fair. and almost 22,000 Mustangs, a.k.a. they called it the pony car. The pony car. Back in the, you know, the horse, you know, yada. Yeah, so they actually sold about 22,000 Mustangs. I don't think they actually had 22,000 Mustangs at the World's Fair. But
that filled the exhibit hall pretty good.
I would assume that they had 22,000 orders. Mm-hmm. Okay, now here's the question. How much do you think, if you were there, how much would you expect to pay for a brand new 1964 Ford Mustang?
$4,500.
Less. Actually, less. Half.
Wow.
Exact. What did you say,
$4,500.
Okay. Just about half, $2,300. Mm. Would buy you a brand new Mustang. Again, that was 57 years ago on April 17th, 1964.
Wow. That was the New York City World's Fair, right?
New York City World's Fair in
so
Queens.
So much stuff came out of that World's Fair. That must have been an amazing thing to see.
There's some amazing thing. I don't know if there is a World's Fair equivalent even today. But if you're going to unveil a piece of technology, you know, now it's being done through CES or the Consumer Electronics convention
or other big trade shows
or big unveil. I mean, look at what Microsoft does, look what Apple does to unveil their things, and they know exactly when to unveil it. Okay, how many months before the holidays, so that everybody, you know, buys that.
And there's always jockeying between the companies. Who's gonna what order are we gonna put them out in this
exactly
year?
Yeah, it's because they already know what they're going to be releasing, you know, months or even years down the line, so that they have a regular release of things, something brand new. Anyway, those are our tech anniversaries. In this next segment on the radio show, we want to call this Online Protection 101, because I am on a mission to keep the public informed and safe online and reduce the victim count of online crime. So we're going to consider two or three cybersecurity tips today, and ultimately a book with all the tips will be available for purchase. The last time we did this segment, we talked about tip 64 to get credit reports on your kids and infants, because people do attack those. Also, tip 65 was to invest in tracking software. We talked about a tracking software that you can get for your laptop. Here is tip number 66, and that is to run a spyware scan on your computer. So there is a difference between a virus scanner and then a spyware scanner. So they are two separate and distinct things. A piece of spyware is something that just reports back to some entity. And usually they're not dangerous, but they'll do more than slow your computer down than actually cause harm. But the mere fact that that there are systems and services out there that are actually recording your online activity, you need to stop those as soon as possible. So if you're in the market for some sort of antivirus, also look for features of it removing spyware specifically. Spyware specifically is so that information doesn't get into the wrong hands.
Your bank account, passwords, all that fun stuff can leak out.
All of these leaks that have happened, it has happened from huge breaches, usually not from spyware, but this is just to be safe, because that can change at any time. If there's any software that's out there that's reporting your activities of your computer to some other entity, and by the way, this can be hundreds, sometimes even thousands of entities that are receiving this information. In order to do that, we can go to tip number 67, and that is to use DuckDuckGo. Have you ever heard of DuckDuckGo?
Yes, I've heard of DuckDuckGo. In fact, one of the podcasts I was using, they started saying they're going to duck it instead of Google it.
Duck it. Oh, that's not bad. So if we're looking for somewhere to nice restaurant, hey, honey, can we duck it? Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Well, you know what? We're always running out of time, but I do want to, we're trying to get a longer show, so we do need some more sponsors. If you have a product or service you want to advertise on our show, please reach out to us at thecomputerdoctorshow.com. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We're always going to try to have a cast member of the Unscrewed Theater here. And if you ever have any questions, just give us a call on the show. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you again next week.